flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. You can also stream the show on YouTube and Twitch. So today, we are going to take a stop at the four locations, the four teams that the Chiefs could possibly play in the next round of the postseason. We are going to take our first stop in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to be joined by Adam Crowley. He's friend of the show with 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. Adam, man, happy to catch up with you, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, Carrington. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this. What went wrong for the Pittsburgh Steelers the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season? Because this is a team that got off to an incredibly hot start and I think was one of the bigger surprises in the league. The last 4 games of the season, this team couldn't score. This team's defense really felt like it regressed. And Russell Wilson looked like the one that played that first season with the Broncos. What went wrong for the Steelers the final month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go and talk to people about the other three teams, I mean, we're not going to have time if I have to list all the things that went wrong with the Steelers over the last 4 weeks, but I'll try to crystallize it here. I think first and foremost, they were banged up at the outset, and they were never able to recover. Offensively, I think they had largely done it with smoke and mirrors this year, throw the ball deep or check it down. The running game has been all volume, and it hasn't been very effective on a yards per carry basis, but they've relied on the run. Against Cincinnati in the final game of that 4-game stretch, they said, let's try to keep the ball away from Joe Burrow. We'll ground and pound. They ran the ball on 12 consecutive first downs apart from the 2-minute drill prior to the 2-minute warning, prior to the second half, excuse me. And they've become terribly predictable. Defensively, I mentioned the injuries, but you also have a lot of miscommunication, which could be part of that, but Mike Tomlin's been doing this for 17 years, and he's got his fingers all over the defense. So it's been a little bit of everything, and it's been a little bit of everything at different times. They also had a ton of good turnover luck in the first 13 games of the season, in the last 4, not so much. So as Mike Tomlin would say, these issues are popcorn. There's a whole bunch.
Do you think there's any chance that the Steelers make a change at quarterback and go with Justin Fields? It just felt to me the last couple of games watching them, the game against Kansas City and also the regular season finale against Cincinnati, it feels like that Pittsburgh offense just needs some kind of spark, and I'm not really sure that spark can come from Russell Wilson.
I could not agree more. If I were Mike Tomlin, I would start Justin Fields in this game. Justin has been good. He's been effective when they've utilized him. Now, that's been few and far between. But in the first 6 games, he was pretty good. His legs led to some red zone efficiency. He threw the ball better than I think most people in Pittsburgh thought that he would. And he didn't turn the ball over. I would go with him in large part because Russell Wilson has taken 12 sacks in these last 4 games. And it's boom or bust. He's either getting sacked or he's throwing the deep ball. They don't move the ball. They don't matriculate the ball down the field. So if your offensive line can't block, and apart from George Pickens, nobody's getting open, why not go with a dynamic option? I would do that. Mike Tomlin won't. I would imagine you'll see him for a handful of plays on Saturday, but I don't think any more than that.
Do you think that Russell Wilson is still part of the long-term plan in Pittsburgh?
I do. And I would not have him come back next year, even if he miraculously beat the Ravens in this game. I think he turned into a pumpkin, but I think the way they view it is the cost is coming down on Russell Wilson. And I think they squint and they think, okay, if we can get another wide receiver opposite of George Pickens, if we can add a more dynamic running back this offseason, if we can give Russell Wilson weapons, then Russell Wilson can be more effective. And I just don't see it that way. He has never been a guy that throws the ball over the middle of the field. That really dried up in Denver. We've really seen him pay no attention to the middle of the field at the tail end here of the season in Pittsburgh. I don't think there's much to salvage here. He seems like a good guy. He's popular around town. I wouldn't bring him back, but I think they see his price tag going down, which means they can spend elsewhere on that offense.
Right now, we're talking to Adam Crowley for a few more minutes here. He is with 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, taking a closer look at the Steelers as they get ready for their matchup in a divisional game against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get to the actual wild card game in a bit. I want to get some big picture stuff about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do you think the future looks like for George Pickens? I asked that question because he just doesn't seem like a personality that you can really win with. Like, if you were trying to kind of create guys that other players are going to rally around, and guys who are really going to be key locker room pieces, it just doesn't feel like he's that in Pittsburgh. He came off to me like he mentally checked out of their regular season finale, and I just don't know how you can depend on that guy long term. What do you think the plan is for Pickens in the future?
It's interesting because without him, they did nothing offensively. And prior to his injury, you know, he was looking every bit the number one wide receiver that they thought they had in him. His talent is unquestionable. He's an incredibly talented man. However, you're right. And in this game against Cincinnati, he wasn't targeted a ton early, and then I think he moped about it. And he got into it with a fan on the sideline, had to be held back by Pat Freiermuth, had three drops. And this is the story of George Pickens. He's a better football player than Deontay Johnson, but they've got a lot of the same other traits. I don't think the Steelers were ever comfortable paying him this upcoming offseason. If they were going to pay George Pickens the $25, the $30 million, the $32 million, whatever the going rate is, I don't think they would have been poking around Brandon Ayuk. I don't think they would have been poking around some of the names we heard at the trade deadline, because the Steelers are not going to pay two wide receivers that kind of money. Now, they didn't get one of those guys, but I don't think it's a big leap to say if they were going to pay a Brandon Ayuk, then they were never planning on paying George Pickens. I think the options this offseason are either A, they don't pay him and he comes back next year as a lame duck and he sings for his supper, or B, they look and see what kind of suitors they're going to be. But I definitely don't see them giving him a long-term contract this offseason.
Everything about the George Pickens situation sounds a lot like what happened in Kansas City with Marcus Peters. No one has ever questioned whether or not Marcus Peters could play or not, but there just came a breaking point where you can't get to where you want to go with that guy in your locker room, and you're going to have to cut ties. That's kind of how I'm looking at it from the outside with Pickens in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I hate when people say things like he's a bad guy. I have no idea if George Pickens is a good guy or a bad guy. He's an emotional guy, and I think he's an immature guy. He's quit on plays this year. He's popped off on social media. That was last year. He's taken penalties at the end of games, fighting with Greg Newsome of the Cleveland Browns through the end zone in a Hail Mary situation. These are things that winners do not do, and the Steelers shipped Deontay Johnson out of town for doing some of those same things. So he's not going to be around for long. The question is he going to be back next year? I'm leaning 45% chance of him being in Pittsburgh next year, but I don't think he gets that long-term deal.
All right, let's talk about the head coach and Mike Tomlin. It feels like the outside noise is starting to get a lot louder about Tomlin potentially moving on. I'm sure you've heard Cowherd. He's been, for the last 2 weeks, he's been throwing out the possibility of the Bears trading for Mike Tomlin. I don't think that's going to happen, but I am curious, if you walk downtown in Pittsburgh and you ask 1,000 Steelers fans, what do you want to happen to Mike Tomlin at the end of this season? What would the split be? What do fans want to happen with Mike Tomlin?
I think the majority would say it's time for him to move on. He's a heck of a coach. He's a heck of a man. I feel confident in saying that in my moments that I've had with him one-on-one. He's a good guy. He's won a lot of football games. I just think it's stale at this point. And the playoff failures of the last 7 years cannot be overlooked. The Steelers aren't even competitive in these playoff games. The defense has been abhorrent. He's a defensive coach by trade. And I believe there's only been four coaches in the history of the National Football League that have gone 7 years without winning a playoff game with the same organization and got a chance to come back for the eighth. He will be back, but I think the majority of people in Pittsburgh think that it's time for him to move on. And I think that most would want him traded, not fired, because there's still respect for Mike Tomlin, but you can't argue with the recent results. And for all the people who say, hey, he has had bad quarterback play these last couple of years, even at the tail end of Ben's career, he also didn't do enough when Ben was in his prime, and he has a massive say in the personnel decisions this team makes. Mike Tomlin is not just the coach. He's also partial general manager. So any quarterback that walks through that door is also handpicked by Mike Tomlin. I think it's time. I think the majority of Pittsburghers think it's time. But I do think that most, like me, don't want to see him fired. But if you can get an asset and you can make it look a little cleaner, I think that would be the ideal situation.
Adam, what chances are you giving them against the Baltimore Ravens? Because this is a divisional game. It's hard to beat a team three times, all of those things. This Pittsburgh team is just limp to the finish line, and they're going up against a team that I think is just better than them across the board. I think they have a better coach, a better quarterback, better skill position players on offense. Their defense, the Ravens' defense, is starting to play a lot better, and the Steelers team hasn't been able to score. I think this thing could possibly get ugly. What chances do you give Pittsburgh to win on Saturday night?
So I've said a lot of negative things to you, buddy. But I do think they've got a chance, and the reason is because of how they've played Baltimore. 8 out of the last 10 times they played them, they beat them. This year, they beat them in the first matchup. The second matchup, the Steelers were ravaged by injuries, and Russell Wilson had a couple of terrible turnovers. But even so, the Steelers were down by just a touchdown late in the game. Lamar Jackson has 9 touchdowns and 9 total turnovers in his career against the Steelers, which, if you look at his career, that's a sizable chunk of his turnovers. And his losses, frankly, have come against Pittsburgh. He's 2-5 as a starting quarterback against them. And Mike Tomlin is 21-16 against Harbaugh. They could have drawn any other team, AFC or NFC, in the playoffs, and I would have picked the opponent to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm a little split on this one, though, because of their mastery over the Ravens. 21-15 Tomlin against Harbaugh. Harbaugh kind of makes some questionable decisions at the end of these games. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. And if it's not a blowout, can Lamar Jackson, who's got a 75 quarterback rating in the postseason and a bad quarterback rating overall against Pittsburgh, can he overcome those demons and make a big-time game-winning play at the end? We haven't seen it much against Pittsburgh. So I think it plays out tight, and it comes down to number 8. Can he be the Superman that he is more often than not in the regular season, or is he going to be playoff Lamar?
How mad are people in Pittsburgh about Penn State and what happened last night?
Well, it's split pretty good. In Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is, there's a huge alumni base of Penn State fans, but there's also a bunch of University of Pittsburgh fans, and University of Pittsburgh fans hate Penn State. So it was interesting opening up the phone lines this morning and getting kind of that back and forth. Penn State fans, I think, are more mad at Drew Aller, than they are with James Franklin. I'd personally be mad at both. James Franklin, I know that you have a guy fall down and Drew Aller throws a really bad interception at the end, but you're up by 10, and then you're up by 7 with 7 minutes and 55 seconds left. Find a way to get the thing done. The sense that I'm getting from Penn State fans around here is they think this is the best that it gets with Franklin. Final 4, and they kind of think he's hit his head on the ceiling here a little bit.
That is our guy, Adam Crowley, joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for 93.7, the Fan out in Pittsburgh, getting us the temperature of Pittsburgh as they head into their matchup against the Ravens Saturday night on Amazon. Also, Penn State, as they lost in the national semifinal in a heartbreaker to Notre Dame. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me on. And, hey, I'd love to talk to you next week.
You know what, Adam? I'd love to talk to you next week, too, because that means the Chiefs are once again going to the AFC Championship game.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Carrington. Take care, Maddie.